So, in how many years altogether were you there with the company?
I was in the company for 47 years.
And in those nearly half a century,
Yes,
my
nearly half
God.
a century.
So in that length of time, what were the major changes that took place within the company?
Within the company. Well, conditions generally were improved. With the salaries, of course, there was no doubt. As the company improved, the working conditions went up. The working hours were like, it was a 6 day working week when I started to work. Like, you'd work a half day on a Saturday. And then gradually it was every second Saturday a half day. And then Saturday work was abolished altogether, you see. As I say, the general condition pension scheme, that was another, like, that was a long drawn out affair too. To the pension scheme had been set up, and it was a money purchase scheme. And eventually they, after years of negotiation, it became a defined benefit scheme, you know, like where it was related to retirement salaries. And that now it's tending, of course, it has to go away from that now because companies can't afford it, you know. You see, particularly if you have had a period of great prosperity and salaries jumped up, naturally there wouldn't be enough put into the pension scheme to cover that great improvement. You know, people would be retiring on high salaries, and they'd be getting 2/3 of their retiring salary, you know, you see, that type of thing, if they had the required service, you know.
So I mean, so these were the changes. Now, where did the say the pension money that was coming into the firm?
That was invested. It had to be at that time. The law required it to be invested in government securities, only in gilt-edged securities. You couldn't speculate at that time with the pension fund.
Where was it going?
A lot of it went into government bonds, you see, which came up like for repayment after a number of years, you know. And it was very safe that way, you see. But like nowadays, of course, you can put it into property and things like that, you know. But of course, that carries a risk with it. And then, of course, the basic scheme, like, was there was a money purchase scheme. At the end of your service, the money you had contributed and the company's contribution to it would purchase a certain pension for you, which would not be related to what you were retiring on, your retiring salary, you see, and you were paid that, you see. Then, of course, when it began to link to the contributions had to be increased, of course, you see. It was only 2.5% at the start. Went up to 6% of salaries, you see, and the company was paying in up to 11% at one stage, you know.
And
Of the payroll, you know, into the pension scheme.
and in those 47 years, how many times did the top management change?
The top management changed a lot. The M.W. O'Reilly, he died around about 1968 or so, and he became president of the company before he died. And two of the board, the secretary and his son, who was a member of the board, became joint managing directors, you see. And then after they went, they were succeeded by the investment manager became managing director. And then there was a change then after a
Who
few
was
years.
he?
He was a man named Kevin O'Donnell. He became managing director. He was investment manager, and he was a very successful investment manager. And he became managing director for a time. Then there was an attempt by the PMPA to take over the New Ireland. They were making a bid for the shares, do you see? And in order to fight that off, they got the assistance of the French company, the UAP, Union Assurance de Paris. It was a something like the Irish Life in France. It was an amalgamation of offices under government auspices, you see. And they came in, and they, of course, they required then really a controlling interest in it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, you were really then working for the French board. There was an Irish board, of course, but like the French board, and there were in 66 countries at that time, that company.
All right, but they had a big say.
Big say in everything then, you see. And then, of course, they collapsed in France. They went out of business altogether.
And what happened then?
They sold off the companies, you see, and the Bank of Ireland bought the New Ireland.
And that's how the Bank of Ireland took it over.
Yes.
What year was that?
About 18 years or so ago, you know.
Can you talk to me about the... did the government have a kind of a hold on the company?
Well, there was a 1936 Insurance Act, you see. That was the first bit of major insurance legislation, I think, in this country under an Irish government, where all the foreign companies doing life insurance were amalgamated by order of the state to form the Irish Assurance Company, you see, which afterwards became the Irish Life, you see. That was a semi-state company, you see. New Ireland were able to fight off that. They remained independent. So there were really only two life companies operating, like Irish companies, the amalgamated one and the New Ireland, you see. Yes.
Who were the main benefactors from that company?
The Irish people were the main benefactors. Their policies were very good. You know, the policies were quite good, and they had a good staff and a good relationship with the public, you see, because a lot of the men now who joined the New Ireland Insurance Company and its foundation were men who were involved in the national movement, and they were celebrities in their local areas, you see. And that's a great help, you see, to a company like an insurance company, you know, or an assurance company.
So you actually saw the money being ploughed back into
Irish industry. Mm. Yes, you see. And
what companies benefited from this?
Well, a number of companies benefited from it. With the Clondalkin paper mills, and there was another paper mills out there in that area too. Was the Killeen? Yes, you see, they were subsidised by the New Ireland. The New Ireland had representation on the boards there, you see. Sullis, Churnth and Bray, you know, for the electric bulbs and all that kind of thing. Irish Coal Mines, which they managed coal mines, like they had a say in Arigna and, you know, Castlecomer and these places. There was a tannery down in Waterford too, they had an interest in it. Leather work, you know, like, and all that.
In Portlaw,
I think, down that area, you see. Yeah, you see. See that they had an interest in a lot of these. An office equipment company, what was the name of it, in around the Navan Kells area. Frank Thornton was one of his particular interests.
Oh, Crannock.
That was the furniture company. Yeah. This one produced office requisites like typing paper and all that kind of thing.
There was in that TORC,
that's right.
Time, you know, that was sometime in the 70s, there was an explosion of factories, and even in the 60s in Navan and places
Navan became very well in those years, yes. It's a well-situated place, of course, near Dublin, and good, you know, it was accessible and all that. But the TORC was the one there that the New Ireland had an interest in, and it was Frank Thornton's interest in it. He'd a great man for the Irish industry, of course, naturally. And
would you consider him to be the driving force in that company?
I don't know that now. I'm sure he was a great assistance to it, you know, the fact that he was in it, you know. Yeah. It would help a great deal. His name, like, meant a lot, you see, in the particularly in GAA circles and all these places, you know. And he'd been in the army in the early days, you know, and had come out 1924, and then he he came back to the, he came into the New World Insurance Company, and of course he looked after the, he was the, he managed all the office in Dawson Street, like the property, the premises and all that end of it, you know.
So it wasn't lenient to any government, really. You suggested earlier on in the interview that the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Oh, they were all men of both traditions. Oh, yes, there was no. They must say that there were men of both sides involved in it. Oh, they were men of both sides involved in it all the time. Like you had men, you had men like Tom Crofts in Cork. You know, like all these men. He was in the army during the war, the 26th Battalion was formed in Dublin, I'm sure you ever heard of it, old IRA men. Frank Thornton was adjutant of the 26th. And there were a number of the men in the number of them were in various ranks in the 26th, you see, 26th Battalion, as well as the ones that had gone into the regular force, you see. 26th was part-time force, you see.
So there was a great pride then.
There
was a great pride in
oh, there was, the organisation. There was tremendous pride in it, and with no doubt about it, like it was a great time. Of course, there was great unity in the war years too. You see, like, I mean, the people were united like this. We were under threat from both sides, and
that's true.
We were on our own.
Who were the main benefactors from that company?
The Irish people were the main benefactors. Their policies were very good. You know, the policies were quite good, and they had a good staff and a good relationship with the public, you see, because a lot of the men now who joined the New Ireland Insurance Company and its foundation were men who were involved in the national movement. And they were celebrities in their local areas, you see. And that's a great help, you see, to a company like an insurance company, you know, or an insurance company.
So you actually saw the money being ploughed back
into Irish industry. Mm. Yes, you see. And
what companies benefited from this?
Well, a number of companies benefited from it. With the Clondalkin paper mills. And there was another paper mills out there in that area too. Was the Killeen? Yes, you see, they were subsidised by the New Ireland. The New Ireland had representation on the boards there. You see, Sullis Churnth and Bray, you know, for the electric bulbs and all that kind of thing. Irish Coal Mines, which managed coal mines like they had a say in Nerigna and, you know, Castlecomer and these places. There was a tannery down in Waterford too. They had an interest in it. Leather work, you know, like, and all that.
In Portlaw.
I think, down that area, you see. Yeah, you see. See that they had an interest in a lot of these. An office equipment company. What was the name of it? In around the Navan Kells area. Frank Thornton was one of his particular interest.
Oh, Crannock.
Was the furniture company. Yeah. This one produced office requisites like typing paper and all that kind of thing. Torc, T-O-R-C,
that time, you know, that was sometime in the 70s, there was an explosion of factories, and even in the 60s in Navan and places like that.
That's right, Navan became did very well in those years, yes. It's a well-situated place, of course, near Dublin and good, you know, it was accessible and all that. But the Torc was the one there that that New Ireland had an interest in, and it was Frank Thornton's interest in it. He'd a great man for the Irish industry, of course, naturally. And
would you consider him to be the driving force in that company? You know,
well, I don't know. Well, I don't know that now. I'm sure he was a great assistance to it. You know, the fact that he was in it, you know, it would help a great deal. His name, like, meant a lot. You see, in the GAA circles and all these places, you know, and he again, like he had been, of course, he'd been in the army in the early days, you know, and had come out 1924, and then he came into the New Ireland Insurance Company, and of course he looked after he managed all the office in Dawson Street, like the property, the premises, and all that end of it, you know.
Yeah. So it wasn't lenient to any government, really. You suggested earlier on in the interview that the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Oh, they were all men of both positions, both traditions. Oh, yes, they must say that there were men of both sides involved in it. Men of both sides involved in it all the time. Like you had men, you had men like Tom Crofts in Cork, you know, like all these men. He was in the army during the war, the 26th Battalion was formed in Dublin. I'm sure you ever heard of it. Old IRA men. Frank Thornton was adjutant of the 26th, and there were a number of the men in the number of them were in various ranks in the 26th, you see, 26th Battalion, as well as the ones that had gone into the regular force, you see. 26th was part-time force, you see.
So there was a great pride then?
I'm
sure that there was a great pride in
the organisation. There was tremendous pride in it. With no doubt about it, like it was a great time. Of course, there was great unity in the war years too. You see, like, I mean, the people were united, like that. We were under threat from both sides, and
that's true.
We were on our own.